Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The draft. Okay, here we go. It's draft week. And you take in all the information. You read everything that's being written. You talk to people and you listen to people and you try and figure out what a team's going to do. And of course, the impossible thing is to predict it. Like the mock draft, you know, getting all 32 picks is like filling out an NCAA tournament bracket and getting all, you know, 67 games correct. It just isn't going to happen very often or ever. And so I think you go into it and you got a strategy. And here's what I think the Lions strategy is. And I will challenge people to argue and tell me why I'm wrong. And I'll accept it. Like I'm waiting for and excited about a healthy debate regarding this. But at the end of the day, I think this is it. I think their number one priority is pretty clear. They want to trade down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not reinventing analysis here because they've said it. And I think they mean it. They will try and make a good faith effort to trade down. And that's the good faith part of this is what, well, they're going to get a good faith offer. Or are they going to get somebody that's just trying to rook them and say, oh, yeah, we hear you want to trade down. Here's our seventh. Would you like to move down 13 spots? I mean, no. Our team's going to try and take advantage of Bob Quinn. There's a chance that they won't trade down, but the number one priority, I think, is pretty clear to trade out of eight. And I don't think we're going to get any argument on that. Perhaps we will, unless you're convinced it's all a smokescreen. And if Bob Quinn could be talking about trade down, we're open for business, and all those quotes we've played, those sound bites we played on the air, and maybe in reality he's thinking, I'm trading up and I'm taking Josh Allen. But here's where we sit. I think they're trading down. I believe him. Number two, if they can't trade down, they want to draft TJ Hockenson, the tight end from Iowa. The more I read, the more I see on this thing as we get closer and closer, TJ Hockenson to the Lions at eight, I think is a pick that they want to make. Couple him with Jesse James. I think this is recreating for them the football product that was Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. Now, we can talk about the rockhead and the idiot. They're not trying to recreate that.
The murderer?
Yes. They are trying to recreate. They know this regime knows what those weapons were like. And I think the message was loud and clear last year. Matt Stafford missed a tight end. They went into last year, they downgraded the tight end position, and they had the worst year of his career. I think when you add Jesse James with TJ Hockenson, I think that is plan B. If they can't trade down, they take TJ Hockenson. If TJ Hockenson is gone, I think plan three falls in line with something you've said. I think they're going O-line. I think the writing is on the wall that they would take an O-lineman. They've evaluated those guys, and at eight, it can be justifiable. And if it's the top O-lineman they have on their board, I'm guessing that that guy would be Jonah Williams because there's belief that Jonah Williams can move inside and play guard, and you'll have the right guard position, which might be the single biggest position that absolutely needs to get addressed. Unless they're ready to go with the Kenny Wiggins, Joe Dahl experiment, one of those two. I think it's Jonah Williams most likely, but I think that is scenario three. And then under two and three, heavy defensive emphasis after that. Bob Quinn has spoken on a number of occasions and talked about the depth of the draft and how you have to play the draft. And I think if you get TJ Hockenson at eight, heavy defensive emphasis after that. If you get the offensive lineman you love at eight, heavy defensive emphasis after that. There is their OF moment. Their OF moment might be the Jonah Williams, and it might not be Jonah Williams. I'm just saying they're the lineman that they covet or TJ Hockenson are both gone. If they are both gone, then what the hell do they do? Well, if they're both gone, that means somebody dropped to them, right?
Yes.
Let's presume that it's not Bosa, it's not Josh Allen, it's not Quinnen Williams.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're five deep, two spots left before the Lions pick. It's not Kyler Murray. Almost assuredly, it's not Kyler Murray, because if he doesn't go number one, somebody will trade up to take him. So there's six of the seven spots filled. So that leaves Dwayne Haskins, Devin White, Montez Sweat. Two of those three would likely be available if the offensive lineman and the offensive weapon they covet are gone.
Well, if you believe the report over the weekend that Kyler Murray is not what the Cardinals would do first overall, that does shake things up.
It does.
You would think a team would want to trade up to do it, to go for him, but you never know. You never know with that. I think your scenario about Hockenson, I'm going to disagree with that one. It's not like Aaron Hernandez had a nice long career playing alongside Rob Gronkowski in the Patriots. He played 3 years in the league. Mm-hmm. I know it feels like he played a lot longer, but he literally only played three seasons of the National Football League. I don't think that's any sort of blueprint on how you do things by having two productive tight ends. I think it worked for a very short period of time with them. I think that they have an opportunity to fill a couple of big holes here. And I think that that opportunity is on the offensive line more than anywhere else. Now, it may very well be that Jonah Williams isn't there or that Juwan Taylor isn't there. But I have a really strong feeling that they're going to go offensive line in the
right
first
round. Right before Aaron Hernandez was arrested, he had signed a 5-year, $40 million contract. Like, they had bought in completely to the idea that they were gonna roll with Gronk and Hernandez as the dual tight end threat. No, it wasn't long, but that was the plan, and they liked it enough that they were vested in both of them long term. But it never came to fruition because Hernandez killed someone.
Do you know how many games he started in 3 years? I'm surprised. I'm not piling on.
I'm guessing it wasn't many.
In three seasons, he only started 29 games. He only played in 38. He played 14, 14, and 10 in his 3 years at New England.
That describes their personnel for the first play of the game. I don't think it means all that much.
But I'm saying that's how many games. Starts are one thing. The actual games are 14, 14, and 10.
Yeah, he was dealing with some injuries, but they loved him enough that they put him, the New England Patriots gave him a five-year, $40 million contract extension right before, obviously, all hell broke loose in his life. But at the end of the day, that's what I think it is. And obviously, you don't agree with it. I do want to hear from others that don't, or maybe you're buying in, but I think that's the strategy going into Thursday night on draft week. Champ and Chump, 10:35. Get to your open line calls. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. All right. A lot of venting going on about the Pistons, asking for those that are vested. You bought tickets. You carved out your Saturday night to watch this team. What word best describes your emotions? Are you more frustrated? Do you still love them? Do you feel like they're that misbehaving child that you still love them, but you're just like, come on, you can do better. I expect more out of you. I mean, I could see why people would have given up at some point during that game. I decided I'm going to watch this thing to the bitter, bitter end. And yet it was beyond hope at that point. 248-539-9797. Meanwhile, I think I got this draft thing figured out. And Gator, you take umbrage with what I think. But I think the plan is, A, for the Lions, trade down with the first pick. If they can't do that, they'll draft TJ Hockenson. If he's gone, they're going O-line with a heavy emphasis on defense the rest of the draft. And yet their O-linemen could be gone too, in which case things get interesting. There's a name that's been associated with the Lions that continues to plummet. That is something we will talk about today at 11:05. 248-539-9797. Ticket text 97136. Kang, I know you wanted to get your two cents on the draft and you know your thoughts on the way this thing is shaping up for Thursday. And without knowing how to predict the game plan going in, we're doing our best to piece it together, and that's what we've come up with.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'd love to disagree with you guys all the time because it just makes more fun. But we talk show prep, and Doug, I'm in lockstep with how you see the draft going for the Lions. I think their plan going into the draft is a trade back, almost at all costs. I think he just wants more picks, Bob Quinn. If that cannot happen, draft TJ Hockenson. I think they really love this the tight ends in the New England system. I know they got Jesse James in the offseason, but last year, like I said, caught with their pants down with no tight ends whatsoever. This year, not going to happen with them. Not only do they get a Jesse James, who's been in the league a few years with upside, you grab a TJ Hockenson guy with huge upside, Gronk-like upside, according to a lot of scouts. If that cannot happen, plan C is draft the best offensive lineman on their board, whether that's Williams, whether that's Taylor, the best one on their board. If for some reason the top three things that cannot happen for them, they cannot trade back, Hockenson's gone, their number one offensive lineman's gone, they go to the failsafe, which is BPA, best player available, no matter what the position is. So if you're a guy who likes DK Metcalf, for example, which I personally would not endorse at number eight, but if he's the best player on their board at eight, they would take him. Montez Sweat, Devin White probably not going to be there. Maybe it's Devin Bush is the next guy. Maybe it's Ed Oliver. I don't think they want to take defense, but if they are forced to with the first three not being available to them, I think defense is back on the board for them.
This is where
I don't
love,
think they want him, though.
I would love to know. We all would love to know what the draft board looks like, but how high do they covet Devin White? I mean, do they covet him like we covet him? Like if he's there at eight, they're like, yes, put the picks in. Devin White.
Or do
White.
They trade back because they want more picks no matter what?
Well, yeah, but the other thing is, because I'm not sure how much separation there is between Devin White and Devin Bush. They both have very similar skill sets.
And I think Bob Quinn kind of said something like that. Maybe not with those two players in name by name, but he did say once you go to that next tier, there's not a huge drop-off. That's why they want to move back. You know what I mean?
Right, but how far back can you move and still get Devin Bush? So I'm thinking, I think Devin Bush is in play at eight.
I think
I'm not saying
too.
You're going to. I'm saying that if you would take Devin White at eight, I think wouldn't you have to consider Devin Bush at eight too?
If they covet Devin White that much.
Yes.
Now, if they do, and my scenario plays out and Devin White's gone, Hockenson's gone, they can't trade back, I think Devin Bush is in play at eight.
Well, let's keep in mind, too, I just am going on what I think is going to happen. This is what I think the Lions draft strategy is Thursday night.
I agree. That's what I think is going to happen, too.
And yet, what you guys are discussing here, there's a bunch of scenarios where a defensive player would, if a defensive player was the pick at eight, I would not be mad. And one of the reasons is I think you can get a starter at guard in the second round or third round. I think you get a starter at safety given the depth at that position in the second or third round. Positions of need. You're not going to be able to check every box comfortably. There's going to be somewhere where you're like, well, we need T's table to develop. We need to trade for somebody still. We still have cap space, right? We need to find someone that's a cap casualty in June. They're going to have to probably not going to walk away from this draft. I would bet that a week from today when the draft is over and we're sitting here, we're going to be talking about they still need blank, whatever it is. But it doesn't mean it can't get done, right?
No, they can get things done. I think that they need a guard and a tackle in the draft. That's the thing. Or they need a starter at guard and a starter at tackle. I think you definitely have to start thinking about that. Because I don't, like I said, Rick Wagner, gone after this year. I'd rather hit the ground running and take a guy who is versatile enough that can play guard or tackle.
All right, feedback to the Carson Anderson inbox. Champ, the Pistons crowd on Saturday night. That was the first time since going to work that I've heard a crowd like that. It only lasted for a half, but the Pistons fans proved in that instance they are voracious for relevant basketball.
I'm watching the game Saturday night at a friend's house, and they showed the bad boy Pistons and Isaiah. And the last time that, because I was watching it on the Fox feed, they showed the last time that the Pistons played outside of the Palace was back in 1980 or whatever, 83 or something like that, when they had an issue at the Silverdome, so they had to play at the Joe. And they're showing Isaiah and the Pistons taking on the Boston Celtics. And my first thought was, man, I miss that team. That team was so much fun because they had multiple scorers on that team. And it was an era of basketball. There was a ton of offense. And, any night, Isaiah Thomas could light you up for 40 points. And in that particular game, he had 37. Fast forward about another 45 minutes in the game, and then they show highlights of Chauncey Billups and the going to work Pistons and just the stifling defense and how that was appealing to us as Detroiters watching that team because they took great pride in playing the defense. They would shut teams down, and we here in Detroit, we loved it. We ate it up. We'll hate it if it's some other team. Mm-hmm. But if it's our team, boy, did we love it. And I thought, man, I missed that team. And then they get back to the game, and the Pistons in the box, and there's no chance at all. And it's so damn frustrating. And you look at this series, first game in the series, Pistons gave up 121 points and the loss by 35. Second game in the series, Pistons give up 120 points and they lost by 21. They lose Saturday night, they give up 119 points. So they have, at the very least, incrementally better defensively from 121 down to 119 at 119. And they lost this one by 16 points. It was only 16 points because they hit a meaningless three-pointer as time expired. But what do you do? I mean, what do you do? I want to say, or be able to at least say to myself, I like the effort. I can't question that. They came to play. They just got beat by a better team. And we know that the Bucks are a better team, and it's so easy just to say they got beat by a better team. But it's the way that they're getting beat. It's watching not just Andre Drummond, but others that are giving this piss-poor effort, not getting back on defense, missing assignments, rushing shots, taking shots that are way too contested, forcing the action. The lazy passing that this team does, it's almost like they're committed to lazy passes. It's so frustrating.
I think it was game two where Giannis had fallen down out of bounds and the Pistons had a 5-on-4 half-court set. Like, he was not anywhere close to getting back. The Pistons set it up and immediately turn it over, playing against four guys. Milwaukee throws it down court for a Giannis dunk. That play right there summed up the way this entire series has gone. You've basically got a 24-second shot clock power play. Giannis wasn't getting back. He wasn't hustling back. They were going to play 5-on-4, and they turned it over. And I think it was Brown, but either way, it doesn't matter. They got a fast break. Giannis was standing under the basket. They threw it down, dunked it. That right there was all you needed to see.
But there is no excuse for making a lazy pass. There's none. I mean, this is Dwayne Casey comes in and he's supposed to change the whole atmosphere with the Pistons, the culture of what's been going on the last several years. Let's shore things up. Let's get in a positive mind frame. And I like Dwayne Casey. But one of the other things I thought he was going to do was help with the fundamentals. It's basic fundamentals with just an entry pass. And they're just lobbing it across. It gets tipped away. And next thing you know, it's a 2-on-1. You know, lob it up for Giannis or whoever else to make the easy basket. It happens too often. It just happens too often. And I don't know how they're going to be able to fix this other than changing players over.
248-539-9797. Let me finish that text because all I read was the beginning about the fans. And just a quick follow-up on the fans. Jennifer Hammond, who was in Milwaukee, said tweeted the following. The atmosphere here at LCA blows it out of the water. Loudest I've ever heard the building in its 2+ seasons. It was great, and the fans showed up. The fans did their job. It's unfortunate that the team, on one of the biggest games they played in a while, just no-showed. Well, this person goes on to run chump Andre Drummond. Drummond has never represented Detroit and never will. Send him packing. That's Ryan in Waterford.
What's tonight's atmosphere going to be like?
I think it's going to be vastly different.
Well, because here's the thing tonight has that Saturday night didn't have. Cooperation with the weather. Are people going to go downtown? Are they going to have that outdoor area set up with the TV so you can watch the playoff game outside and enjoy a party atmosphere?
They should. I mean,
I wish it feels like this is such a wasted opportunity to do that because...
Also true.
Because the game is the game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.